I think layman's terms is a good way to start. Essentially, this is quite a historic shift for Ethiopia, because we're talking about the actual, it's seemingly liberalization of Ethiopia's economy. So both the kind of foreign exchange system shifting towards a market-based regime, trying to ease the kind of crippling foreign currency shortages that have been in the country since Abiy's government took over, and even before that, and trying to boost private sector-led growth. It is a huge shift when you think about the state-led development policies of the former government under the EPRDF. And actually, the promise to liberalize early on under the Prosperity Party, and before that when Abiy took over, but a realization of the difficulties in doing so, kind of curbing some of those liberalizations. So you kind of had one foot in and one foot out. But I think that the real crunch in terms of the fiscal problems that we've seen Ethiopia have over the last couple of years, and the worsening of its fiscal situation, has meant that Ethiopia is now paying, it is agreeing to come into line with these international standards. And this is largely being designed to meet the IMF requirements to unlock a lot of funding from both the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, the World Bank, and other creditors. So it's really to try and assuage those creditors, a number of them to whom Ethiopia holds quite substantial amounts of debt.
Mr. Suleiman, you're right. The IMF has been calling for numerous reforms of Ethiopia's tight state-controlled economy, including floating the currency in order to unlock the funding. But the Horn of Africa nation is battered in recent years by several armed conflicts, the COVID pandemic, climate shocks, and it has about, $28 billion of external debt. And it's also grappling with sky-high inflation and a shortage of foreign currency reserves. So with all this, can they really implement what they're actually trying to do?
This is the difficult question. As we've seen immediately, in terms of the immediate impact, there's been a 30% devaluation of the bill against the dollar, which, of course, will immediately contribute to inflationary rises in some commodities. So there is a worry, I think, and there has been a worry in terms of the negotiations, which have rumbled on for some time, over this issue of devaluation in particular, and whether or not the inflation that we see will have not only a further, because we've seen inflation going to double digit figures, impact on the spending power and livelihoods of Ethiopians every day, and whether or not that leads to further unrest in the country, which, let's be very clear, Ethiopia cannot afford, given, as you pointed out, I mean, one of the most crippling parts of the economic trajectory since 2019, and certainly late 2020, has been the evolution of unrest at war in Ethiopia in the north, the kind of conflict we have seen in both Oromia, the Amhara region, Benishangul, other parts of the country which persists, and that uncertain picture, which of course is a deterrent to economic growth, to stability, to any sort of foreign direct investment, certainly. So I think this is a big gamble, therefore, in that regard. But it's a longer term one, and it would be one that would have to be based and predicated on increased stability within the country